meeting of this design group. Briefly go through the notes of the last meeting. Just done in note form, and I haven't attributed anything to individuals because we're working strictly as a team here. Everybody's working equally. So, but we saw that the problems with existing remote controls were the boring shape and boring colour. And we saw that the what we needed to do was to make sure the device controls several items, that switching is easy, that you shouldn't need to point the thing at anything in particular, that it need to be console to make it interesting, that the keys might be concave, simply because that hasn't been done before that we know of, so interchangeable fascia so people can personalize it, illuminated so that people can see it in dark rooms, that people might want it as in addition to their existing remote controls, and that it should just always work whenever you use it, and that it should be too small that it gets lost. I'll shortly ask for three presentations. Before I do that, however, I will go through some new project requirements that the management have placed on us, and will be challenging in terms of what we discussed at the first meeting. The management has had its own thoughts on this, and that they don't necessarily agree with what we thought. And then we'll, as a result of that, we will then talk through the functions that we see the device actually carrying out. And we have 40 minutes to do this in. Okay. Now, the new requirements are the management team see that teletext is no longer of any importance given the rise of the internet, and that they want it only to cover televisions. Now, what is not quite clear from their directive is whether they mean that they don't want it to cover teletext, or whether they don't want it to cover videos, DVDs, satellite boxes, which we saw as being fundamental to the exercise. The actual wording of the directive is that it should cover television only, and on that basis, I think we need to bear that in mind, but possibly keep at the backs of our minds the reality that people, even with it, no longer, they don't look at teletext anymore, they certainly look at other things. The device has to incorporate the company logo and colours. The logo being at the bottom of the screen there, the two R's in grey against a yellow background. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that we have to give up some of our ideas about making it attractive to the market, but do introduce some constraints as to how we might do that. It also has to be simple, which to some extent goes along with the first one, and the way we've already said that it must be simple, because that's what people want anyway. But they also want it to be simple to get it to the market quickly, which is their choice, but we need to talk that through. Okay, so that's the meeting summarised and notes sent out and that, etc. Okay, so we'll first of all have individual reports from everybody. Again, there is no order of precedence here. So I'll leave it up to you to who thinks they'd like to go first.
I don't mind. Go first.
Fine.
I'm going to steal the cable.
Oh, sorry, can I do?
Start there.
Oh, you click on the one that looks like a Egyptian screen, I don't know what that is.
This functional parts from the our guys down in the research lab. 200 people covered all the aspects of what this thing is, and people what they want to see. Everything kind of from functionality and how individual functions are, how often they're used and what's necessary. So, and general opinions about kind of current models. I see that, as we kind of noticed, 75% of people find the remote controls ugly. So, some kind of new style that should be incorporated. It's less than along with, looking less ugly, but it looks better. 8% of people certainly need to spend more money on it. Which is a plus for us if we can make it better, be more cost effective. We can put a price on it. Current controls do not match the operating behaviour of the user. I can take that to mean as they only need to work for the television, or really like, as in my flat, I've got six remote controls for a stereo system, a digital box, a DVD player, video player, TV, phones. I mean, my behavior is to use multiple things at the same time, and all the remotes aren't really matched well to my behavior. again, 75% use safely the example of what I took to mean that they just use it regularly rather than standing up and manually change channels or volume settings. And I think a big issue is 50% use only use 10% of the buttons. Because we've got a remote that like some buttons taken off rather than lack of teletext, but we're going to see that some of the functions like audio settings are hardly used and it's very considered relevant by the user. So like maybe fewer buttons, which also make the design look sleeker. Frustrations of like people losing the control, other ways of kind of system of you press a button on the TV or OBS. I think it's either like some kind of system where you can use something else to find the remote control. Like a little beep or something. And time taken to learn new remote controls is not to make it too complicated. It's easy to use for like first time users and stuff. And perhaps a stranger, I suppose, would speak more. uncomfortable and make possible even use have to make your buttons like as you're the whole mouse area feel uncomfortable. Maybe don't even have to hold it such.
Well, there must be some tiny addicts out there if they get RSI from their television with ratings or like that.
But it also asked if we would people pay more for speech recognition and younger people say they would. There was another section on our on the report for LCD displays, but the data wasn't there, so we'll actually know what the results for that were. So maybe we go back to the later meeting. But yeah,
I'll say that I've got notebooks for the phone service I was using the other day that had sort of speech recognition, which worked remarkably well. So that is indeed a
I
was going to say you can't get a lot of RSI, you just get jaw break. Okay, sorry.
Yeah. So possibly the speed recognition is probably some good identity. I've got some of things I couldn't fit onto this presentation. See, there's something functionality. Like people's opinions on functionality, their relevance to the remote, and how often they're used. So, the power, to switch on TV is a high relative name, but it's not frequently used. Whereas channel selection, which is very high relevance, is used the most. So, we can maybe even start to cut down on, or I was possibly thinking of. A design that maybe some of the buttons are hidden from everyday use, maybe like a folding lid or something, so that we can maybe go into the channel settings and the audio settings, which are more relevant and rarely used, and keep the volume selection and channel selection very easily.
You could
probably.
I was just going to say, maybe like flip phones that they use. Have you seen the new mobile phones that flip out and they have the like texting and then the numbers on one side? So you could have the used buttons on top. And
it slides back in the buttons are concealed.
Yeah.
Should we actually bite the bullet here? If people really don't use those buttons to any extent at all,
just
remove them altogether.
That might
we could actually have. Actually have a remote control with I wonder whether we could get a remote control with no buttons at all if we went for voice recognition. Given that the age structure we were looking at. We had usage by age structure, what we didn't have was what proportion of people using remotes were in those particular age groups. Do we know whether the 45 to 55 age group, to put myself right in the middle of it, use your remote controls to a great extent?
And this
right. So we're looking at, we don't know the relative proportion, the relative numbers in the age groups.
That's true.
If we wanted something different, truly different, then the button must have remote control.
Well, the only problem I can think of with that is if you've got a lot of people that don't want to bother learning how to use new remote controls, if you just kind of take away everything that they're used to knowing, that's going to be quite a change.
But if you just leave it on, say, channel 1, or BBC,
you could even just have it left on. Just put it down once on top of your TV and never have to.
Yeah, have it be kind of like the satellite box or the cable box and have it just go on the TV and then it doesn't matter where in the room you are, you won't lose it.
I can see technical problems with that in terms of the the sound from the television, because if somebody else on the television says ITV and you're watching BBC, then they might change itself, so it probably needs to be possibly actually need a button on it just to activate it, or something just to identify that you've lifted it up in its use, and then just saying then I mean that would certainly be truly different. Because the audio settings 0.8%, and if they weren't there, would people miss them?
But look at the importance of them, the volume settings.
Relative to tone.
Volume, yes.
They're not used often, but they are quite important when they're used.
We need to identify things that people actually need, and it's a function of frequency and relevance. And I would say ignoring power for the moment. The channel and volume, that we're going to give them, be told to ignore teletext. Channel and volume are the only ones that would appear to be essential. So if we can design something that looks interesting or looks different, incorporates the logo and then the colours, and we can still have our interchangeable fascias even if it's the yellow and grey. Are there no buttons or buttons as an option?
I just had a very interesting interrupt. You're saying about technical problems of someone on television saying a channel number and it changed. We can maybe have an activation word. I've seen it used on computers before, where you address the remote, you address the computer, and then give it a command.
It depends whether, if you want to make this so simple that anybody can walk into the room and lift it up and say,
that's
BBC One. Okay, you can actually print it on the device itself.
I mean, I'm seeing the point of view of you could still lose this.
That's always going to be a problem, I think. And that's I suppose one. Make it so desirable that if people lose it, they can go and buy another one. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
I was thinking of
your reports then.
Well, I was just kind of wrapping up, but I was thinking, research things that are relevant, we can make things much more. I think the 80% people have done more on a remote that looks better, combined with decrease the or take out the limited functions that we don't really use much. We'll already take it to the text, but as in channel settings and stuff, it might turn people some people that want the whole functionality away. But since if we're marketing on a more kind of fashionable approach, then it would be fashionable or practicality.
Because we can make it dual function, but have voice recognition and still have buttons on it.
We could even have it as the buttons control this and the voice functions control the things that you would do all the time. So
we could.
Power on channel selection and volume selection, we'd have to really.
Yeah, I mean, the advantage of doing away the buttons altogether is it makes them cheaper.
It probably would look better as well.
It certainly opens up the possibility for making it visually very distinctive. Because it does not have to be one box.
Linked with a number of buttons.
Yeah. Okay, given that we've already had an extensive discussion.
Okay, we're doing the same or something.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, so this is just about the technical functions. So the method I looked online for examples of other similar products and then just kind of was trying to brainstorm some possible design ideas and identify what the necessary things are, what people are really want to have a remote control do. And then there are two different kinds that I found. There's a user-centered one and an engineering-centered one, which I want pictures of, and we kind of have to decide which one this should be. So these are the two different ones. This one, this is the user-centered. It has quite a few fewer buttons. And then this is the engineering-centered, which has a lot more buttons. And probably this is one that people complain about having too many buttons that you don't use. So basically, what remote control is you to send messages to the television set, you know, turn on, off, switch the channels and the volume, and things such as that. And so for this product, it's going to be television only, and then it has to have the logos for the company and the colors. And so for my personal preferences, I think this one is easier to use. It has quite a few, you know, fewer buttons. We want something that sends messages easily to the television, and I was kind of wondering about this example that they have. It looks kind of narrow at the top, and I was thinking maybe if it were wider at the top, then that would be easier. And so we have to decide what's going to make our product different. The unique style, maybe have it light up so it's visible in the dark, the changeable faceplates, and the lighting has been visible. When we were talking about losing it, maybe they have a button on the television that you press, maybe if it makes a noise or lights up or something like that, so it's easier to find if someone has it hidden under the couch or something like that. So that's my presentation.
Okay, can I, I'm actually going to use the, it's going to cause great technical problems over here, I'm actually going to use the
connected
to the table, which would be more walk around. It's rather than the traditional, in fact. I wouldn't go that far. Something like this shape, you know, sort of something that you can, sort of a more vertical shape, that you sort of hold in your hand, such as, I mean, something hold it like that, possibly with a couple of buttons like that, but with the entire top, with the infrared or whatever source. So that, you know, it's flying off in all directions, so that again, they need to look at the technicalities of actually achieving that in terms of whether the, you know, the power requirements of the such a source you know, compromise the our need for you know, it being permanently you know, available, whether different technology. I mean, all these remotes are presumably infrared, like they have been for a long time. But we possibly need to be looking at something different. You know, short range, not like the old radio remote controls where you can change next door's telly and change yours. But I think basically, if we're going for, if minimum number of buttons is our priority, then we should, as I say, really bite the bullets and reduce the buttons to absolute minimum. You know, possibly with backup channel the volume buttons and on off, and nothing else. So that it could almost end up like that. It's again, except it's at the risk of losing it. Anyway, okay. So Kate, what are your overall thoughts on this?
Okay, yeah, so just doing a presentation of a working design. Okay, just at the sort of method of how the remote control works, the basic function of the remote control is to send messages to another system, the TV or the DVD player or whatever. And it does this by needing an energy source, and this energy source will feed into an integrated circuit chip. And the circuit chip is the part that actually composes different messages within the remote, which will then be sent to the television, the DVD, to tell that what to do. And you need a user interface which controls the chip and thus the messages. And the user interface is basically just the sort of design of the actual remote, which you're holding hands, and what buttons will be on it. Just general findings, what we need, technically speaking, for remote control is some sort of energy source, some sort of user interface, which I think we've mostly been talking about the user interface and the design of that, a circuit chip within that to control and send the messages, and a sender and receiver. Just sort of a little schematic diagram of what we're looking for. This just kind of represents the energy source, which feeds into the circuit chip, which maybe then we can have that feed into a switch, which would send signals to a subcomponent onto a light bulb to light up once you start pressing buttons. Also send signals to the infrared bulb, which will be the part that actually sends signals to the television, and then you've got your happy little TV watcher there. So my personal preferences, I just think we need sort of a big energy source that won't die out, perhaps some sort of rechargeable battery or a battery dock you can place it in so it would constantly be charged. You wouldn't have to be worrying about running out of batteries and not changing channels for you. A wide range of sender receivers so that you can hit the buttons from basically anywhere in the room and the channel will still be changed. Also, definitely a user-friendly interface, and I think we've also mentioned adding a locating device on it, so when it does get stuck on the couch cushions, as they inevitably do, you can find them easily. And that's pretty much it.
Okay. So it seems to me there are a number of fundamental decisions to make before we. I think your point about the big energy source is a very valid one. I don't suppose we've got any statistics on the life expectancy of remote controls, particularly sort of independent ones. Given the number of things you buy these days, which have a lithium whatever battery in that's never needs replacing, perhaps we should have the disposable remote control. On some sort of typical usage, the battery will last 5-10 years, by which time, when all said and done, digital television will be taken over in that time scale. Perhaps we should reduce the sort of the moving parts even more by not even having a battery compartment, and
Probably one that's guaranteed to last 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, and if anybody manages to run it down, then we'll give them a new one.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's, you know, it's what it saves in cost, and you know, there's a, well, as they like a gimmick, and it's hardly a gimmick, it's totally practical. So I think that the only rechargeable one is, unless you get really high tech and it sort of just recharges itself if it's by magnetic waves or whatever.
You could have like a cordless phone in your house, it's like a base that
yeah.
sits there all the time.
Are people really going to use it though? Says, oh, I should have put the phone on to charge, and she's had those for so long that she's looked at them by now.
I only remember to charge my cell phone when battery dies.
when he's dying is a problem.
When it turns itself
yeah,
off, that's
yeah.
when I plug it in.
Yeah, right. So, what do we think about the permanent battery?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Is there, we are really going for the ultimate in sort of external simplicity here. And cut costs between the manufacturing and the high tech interior, then that may well be cost effective.
Do they make batteries that last that long?
I mean, certainly, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but there are certainly things that you buy, and calculators, for example.
They usually have little lights.
Little
cells that.
Some do. I mean,
yeah.
there are battery ones that are sort of permanently sealed,
yeah.
and in fact,
most of them don't have sort of a combination of the two. Like when there is light, they'll work off the light, and then
yeah,
get into this battery. So we can maybe do something like that, whereas there is a battery, but if there's enough light, then it's using the light, so it's not actually draining the battery all the time. But you will have the battery there for.
Yeah, I mean, this needs going into the technology a bit. I mean, the actual time that the remote control is actually operating, I would think, is it's probably no more than minutes in its entire life.
Well,
it
depends on
who's
using it, who's just
sitting
there clicking.
It does, people getting RSI from it.
They're clicking on, yeah.
Perhaps we're looking at the wrong mark, isn't it?
Like this market research thing says, number of times per hour that's used, channel selection 168 times per hour.
Per hour? Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, I've missed that. That does sound excessive.
But then again, if you think it, if they might have, might be used, it's like, it's less than a second.
Yeah.
Well, that's right, and I don't know whether the signal lasts as long as you actually keep the button pressed, or whether it's just the sort of tenth of a second, no matter how long you press it for. I don't actually know.
I think with digital TV, like I know on my cable box, you're not supposed to do that because the channel can't keep up with it. If you just press it like that, so you're supposed to use the menu and go through the channels that way instead of.
So I'm going to say 5 minutes, I don't know how long that appeared. Right, so I need to sum up very quickly here. We're looking at extreme simplicity. We're looking at a radically different shape. Possibly no buttons at all. But if we can incorporate channel change and volume buttons, into the design, then that's fine. The role of the user interface designer becomes more important here, because shape is no longer a serious constraint. But we clearly only need the main buttons, although clearly only need the main functions. I don't see why we shouldn't go for voice recognition, and the only buttons that I think we need are channel control, volume control, and on off. It needs to incorporate the corporate logo, the grey and yellow colour scheme, and there's no reason why we can't introduce interchangeable covers. So does that accurately summarise what we've discussed? Right. So.
I just have one question.
Yeah.
So are we doing just the television, or are we doing?
We are doing just the television.
So not DVD.
No.
Okay.
I think that's quite clear from the information we've been given here.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe I'll tell her something. In fact, someone in the streets that you know I got.
Yeah, well, that's what I sent to you, which was my interpretation of what came down from head office. That's their view. Okay, so we can all give some thought to that for the next meeting. Thank you very much indeed.